All right, welcome back to your extended news at noon. Tracy Morgan in with you. And so one of my favorite people in the world, Mr. Jeff Croner, on the phone with me. I love Mr. Croner because I used to be a part of the Butler Band, and of course he's the director of the Butler Band. Hi, Mr. Croner. How are you doing today?
I am fantastic. Good morning to you and everyone on the show.
So since this pandemic has started, I have wondered about you all. I've wondered about any band in this time. I know I was back in the day where we had Q-tips on our heads. Well, we nicknamed them Q-tips. Do you remember those? The gold uniforms? And so, yeah.
Oh, the big old Busbies.
Right.
I went to Seneca Valley. The Butler ones were white and the Seneca Valley ones were black.
Right.
I remember
right.
them well.
Yeah. And when we were in the intermediate high school, we had to march up from the intermediate to the high school, back to the intermediate, and then, of course, when we graduated onto the high school, we went with the high school band. So those were in the days where the band wasn't nearly as large. We didn't travel nearly as much. And so that's why I'm wondering how you're all handling what you're doing. Since we're already into school, we'll skip the whole band camp kind of questions. But what are you doing right now? I know the weather is on your side to be able to get outside, but talk us through how any band is handling this time.
Well, we've had to be creative, but thank goodness that's part of what we do for a living, is
right.
be creative. The students that are playing wind instruments, we socially distance them. Currently, we are practicing outside for grades 9 through 12, and we're still working on marching band music, as we did perform Friday night at the game. Grades 7 and 8, it's much more challenging because they don't have the flip folders that we would use for marching band. So we're taking music stands out and working on some very basic scale work when the weather allows. We had to come up with a way to get bell covers, which are coverings for the end of each of the instruments.
And that's
Todd
including
Karenbauer and I at the intermediate high school had to find $1,000 to buy the first bell or the first cover for each of the kids grades 7 through 12.
And that's for instruments like trombones and trumpets and tubas. You're talking about the whole bell of any of those instruments.
Any, even saxophones and clarinets. Anything
okay.
that, you know, where that air would come out, we're going to put basically as a mask, you know, over that opening to slow any of the particulates that might be coming from that. Once we get those, we'll be able to practice inside. But we still need to be at least 6 feet apart, each student. And we're only allowed to play for 30 minutes, and then the room needs to be able to air out for a minimum of 30 minutes following that. And that goes for singing as well.
All right, so let's talk about the marching band first, and I'm going to come back to you all being inside and 30 minutes of playing and things like that. So let's talk about the marching band first. I did see a picture, and I saw how spread out you were. And I know this is probably a question more for musicians, but I am curious because I've been in that spot before. How important is it to watch the drum major at this time? Because when we were closer together, you know, I mean, sometimes you could hear your neighbor and kind of keep track of where you were. But if you're really distanced, is that echoing? I mean, how are the instrumentalists being able to keep in time and this not fall apart on you?
Well, that is a challenge. That took a lot of time in our abbreviated band camp to get the students used to that. When we're on the field, even when we're doing drill, we're still closer than we are now because you would be at times shoulder to shoulder with the person beside you, like you had said. It's taught the students a lot of independence. They have to rely upon their own, you know, being able to play the music and being comfortable without having to rely upon their neighbors. So I guess if there's an advantage to it, the students have really had to learn their own part, and you're right, their eyes have to be on the drum major. But the hard part of that was this year is normally the Butler Band memorizes everything we play. With an abbreviated band camp due to COVID, we shortened the days because we didn't want to have to socially distance lunch times. We did not make them memorize it this year.
Okay.
So they're eyeballing their music and the drum majors. So they've really had to learn to turn their ears on and to listen to one another and listen to that drum line.
Are you doing drill? Someone told me on Friday when you did your halftime or your performance that you stayed on the field and stayed still. Is that true, not true? Are you doing drills during halftime?
We are not doing drill this year. There was no way we can do that socially distanced because once they play, the masks have to come off. So we didn't want kids walking about the field without masks, even setting the drill. So we're just basically parking and playing. Our sequinettes, the Dance Flags and Golden Girl, are all still doing routines. So we have some great visuals that are happening, and the band is just basically parking and barking.
Now, the marching band, are you traveling to other schools or any of the bands? Are they staying at home and just playing at their home games?
Being as of the regulations of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania until just recently only allowed 250 total in the stadium, most schools are not traveling. The tiny schools might be able to fit that in, but when you get into the larger schools like Butler and the schools we play, it just doesn't make sense. This year, our three away games would all be in Erie. And, you know, the superintendent and I agreed that not only due to numbers, but having students on school buses for nearly 2 hours each way just didn't make sense this year for the safety of our kids.
One thing that I've come to appreciate, I've applauded the band for traveling so much just to the locations that you did. I mean, I was excited to go to, like, Pittsburgh, you know, again, back in my day. But you guys have done so much, and I'm so proud of you. I you know, tear up every time I see you on TV. You know, it's fabulous. Then my heart breaks this year because I'm wondering, what are you doing in the way of travel? What happened last year? Did you have to cancel any plans? And talk about that for a moment.
Well, our band always does trips in late fall, anywhere between the week before Thanksgiving and the week after Christmas. So last year's trip was good to go. We got everything in, and we were safe before all of this really happened. The band has traveled ever since the year 1997 when it led the Macy's Day Parade in its very first trip. Sadly, due to COVID, this will be the first trip since 1997, our first year, that we will not be able to travel, as we were scheduled to go down to Florida to perform at Disney and Universal. Hmm. There's just no way that we can do that the week after Christmas at this point. You know, not only for numbers, but to travel with 250 people enclosed in buses, and it didn't make sense for the kids. So we're going to try, if things settle, to maybe do a trip for our senior band members, and then the rest of the students will go to Florida in 2021.
And I'll just say the quiet part out loud, it's not the same. And so, again, I appreciate you trying, and I still break, you know, my heart breaks for those seniors because you look forward to that through all these years, and then this has to happen. And last year we thought maybe that was it. But now that these seniors are in this year, they're going to miss out on that opportunity. How do you work with your students? I know you're there to teach and you're there to focus on music, but band teachers and the band is a family, you know, and it's a great friendship there. How do you help your seniors through that, knowing that this year they're not going to be able to take advantage of those opportunities?
Well, I've put a significant amount of responsibility on the seniors to help be creative, to work us through this time, finding ways to make it work. This particular senior class has been a true gift because they've been, they're disappointed, but they also understand the reality of, you know, it would be awful if somebody, say one of our chaperones, were to get this because of us traveling and, you know, and possibly have, you know, very long-term of negative effects. I cannot tell you how mature this particular group of kids have been to handle it with dignity and the pride. It breaks my heart because it's an amazing group of seniors that deserve so much more, but they're really amazing on how open-minded they are to the big picture of life. It gives me great hope for our future.
Yeah. Mr. Jeff Croner on the phone with us, of course, the director of the Butler Band. And I don't mean to make light of the 250, but my goodness, when you talk about 250 kids, isn't that the size of the band? I mean, that's a tough call whenever you have to figure out what you're going to do. The band is so large. And, you know, you have so many people that you have to be thinking about. And how does that weigh on you and Mr. Karenbauer? I mean, you're responsible for these kids, and they are such a large group. I mean, how have you two been working through that?
Well, I mean, quite honestly, I was very anxious for band camp, and it wasn't really for my safety because I knew, you know, I'm as careful as anybody can possibly be. But I do worry that we, you know, that that things happen, but that's just the nature of, you know, like Mr. Karenbauer and I tell these kids, we're their band's dads, and we treat them like our own kids and have the same expectations as our own children. So we also want to protect them that way. But we've got an amazing booster organization, amazing staff that we spend a lot of time. I spent more time this summer planning for band camp on how to make it happen than I have ever before. And, you know, and basically that was for half days of camp and just music. And, but, you know, I trust the kids totally to make good choices and good decisions. So that makes my life a lot easier when it comes to being responsible for them.
Mr. Kerner, I've talked to the superintendents. I've mentioned that my kids are in the schools. I just haven't announced, you know, what school district. So I'll just say it this way, that my one son is in orchestra. They are not having concerts, and I'm not saying that he goes to Butler or not Butler, but what are the bands going to do this year in the way of concerts? I mean, between concert band and jazz band, you talked about the chorus and the singing. There are rules there. Are there going to be concerts this year?
Well, right now we're planning for us to not, the reality of not being able to do a large audience type of concert, but we're going to hopefully be able to continue. I know the orchestra here at Butler is practicing diligently because they can play and sit close to one another because it's not a wind instrument. What we anticipate is if we have to, we're going to do recordings of these with videos and as good as quality of sound that we can, possibly create a music department YouTube page and post all of those things for parents to watch at their leisure. The jazz bands, we're going to do that. The rock orchestra, the percussion ensemble, I know all of those groups are going to plan on doing performances via YouTube and making them out there. For symphonic band, the hard part is for me to do, say, my band at the high school, there are 120 students in that band, which would mean that I will virtually fill the entire house of the auditorium with students. We're still yet to be determined, because we're not allowed to play inside yet till the masks get here, whether that's going to be a feasible way to do anything concert-wise.
Right.
But we're going to give it a shot. If things change, if come May things are, we're allowed to open up and have people in the auditorium, each group may only play a few songs, but, you know, we'd still love to get these kids in front of their parents, and live music is just something that cannot be reproduced any other way.
Absolutely, absolutely. And since we're talking about, in a sense, the weather turning and moving bands inside, since we talked about the marching band, let me ask a couple of other questions about you practicing.
Sure.
And your times. And this is a question that only a band member would think of, right? So how are you dealing with the spit valves? Of course, you have the trumpets and the trombones. And, I mean, is there anything that you can do or should do with those spit valves?
Well, we're going to spread out puppy pads, training pads that you can get for the dogs, and the kids will just empty those on the puppy pads, and then I will put gloves on at the end of the rehearsal and dispose of those appropriately.
Interesting.
That way it's not hitting the floor, it's not hitting anywhere else, it's just being absorbed into something that I can very easily take care of.
Interesting. All right. I'm glad I asked, because it's those little things that we don't think about, and then you do. I mean, you have to think about those kinds of things, and that's interesting. So, okay, so you're practicing for about 30 minutes, you say. How is,
yes.
Is that what you're doing now, or are you still concentrating outside?
Well, even outside, there was a national study that was paid for by a lot of the big music companies that went through each of the instruments and made recommendations, and then for also ensembles. And being as of Dr. White's first degree in his pathway of life was a music education degree, he and I have worked very closely to make sure that we're following all those guidelines for the safety of the kids. It recommends that even outside playing should be limited to 30 minutes in a particular space. So even with our after-school rehearsal for marching band, we're only allowed to play for 30 minutes before we need to, you know, do something different.
You have to really be on the ball with just 30 minutes in time for practice. You got to put all the instruments together, get ready, get outside. I mean, that's tight. I would think that's tight for you.
Well, the actual putting together, taking apart, you know, that we're off the clock for that. It's once we start to play.
Oh, okay.
So we are trying to maximize once we actually begin playing that we're pushing as hard as we can for those 30 minutes before that time flips. So it's just, you know, it's made me have to be even more efficient with the time that I have planning, you know, the things before and after that clock starts.
Yeah. Again, back to the auditorium when you're talking about spacing there. Are you talking about spacing on stage, or are you going to put students in auditorium seats?
Well, at the intermediate high school, the largest group, because the principal was able to split the groups up, the largest group is about 32 kids. They fit on the intermediate high school stage totally socially distanced. Now, at the senior high, the stage still has material from the all-school musical that was canceled 2 days before it was to happen because they don't have anywhere to put the props and the scenery and everything that was to be used for The Wizard of Oz. Even with that being the case, my bands here, I have two of them with 110 students or 55 students each. That 55 is still not going to fit on that stage socially distanced. So we will have to spread them out into the house of the auditorium, and the percussion would probably be on the stage. So there's still ways that I don't have all the answers.
No,
yet.
But you know
each
what?
Today is a new challenge.
It is, right? I mean, that's what somebody asked. How are you today? And I'm like, well, let's go back to the drawing board and figure out how we get today done. And it'll be intriguing, and I'll be interested to hear how this works for you because of just the acoustics and the sound and how you practice. But I applaud you for thinking of ways to get these students taken care of and practiced and still keep music in their lives. So I do applaud you on that. Before I let you go, because I know you're busy, you have class coming up and you're going to be in a class here real soon. Let me ask you about the money, if you don't mind. And this is going to go back towards the marching band because you do travel, you do a lot of fundraisers. Are you still going to be fundraising throughout the year? And a follow-up to that I'll just ask is the money that was raised for the kids that won't be able to travel this year, are you going to use that for any kind of special travel like you were alluding to, or will that money just be kept for next year?
Well, the students that are in 9th, 10th, and 11th grade, their money transfers 100%. The company we use, which is a local company owned by Brian and Holly Stevenson, CCIS, worked it out that we did not lose a penny of the money that we had put down for this year's trip. We postponed the trip 12 months, so those kids keep 100% of it. And we are going to continue fundraising because we're hoping to invite the new eighth graders soon with auditions so that they can start fundraising for the trip, which is now 14 months away. The seniors, any money that they paid into with, like, checks, personal checks, if they don't, and we can't go on a trip for them in the spring, they would get that back. The money that is fundraised, we're not allowed to give fundraised money back because then a family would be making, you know, someone would make profit without paying tax on it, which is not appropriate.
Okay.
They are allowed to either donate that to another student in the band, or donate it into a fund that will help students that struggle. Or they can just donate it to the band in general for the needs, as all of our band fundraising things were canceled this year, our golf outing, our pie festival, and the band festival. So the seniors, if we don't take a trip or they choose not to go, they don't really lose anything. Their payments are given back and their fundraised money, they have a choice of where they would like that to go.
So the money raised is not just for marching band and trips. I mean, what I'm hearing from you is there are a lot of different areas where this money can go to help students, even if, like you said, they're in need or maybe they need an instrument.
Absolutely. You know, the band boosters are, each year, there's more and more burden put on the boosters to provide things as school budgets get more and more challenging. So, you know, they have the three main fundraisers, but they're always looking for ways to support these kids in ways that, you know, in the past, the schools were able to afford, but it just isn't there anymore. Don't get me wrong, the Butler Area School District supports our group by buying uniforms and paying for transportation, you know, paying the staff, but it's some of those other things that in the past there was money for that just isn't there.
Let me ask you one more.
There are general fund things that we can do as well as the trip.
Let me ask you one more question because I'm looking at the time and I know your bell's going to ring and you only have 30 minutes to practice, so I got to get you going. Your budget, are you meeting your budget or are you down in funds? Do you need some extra help because of the past many months?
Well, I will tell you that, you know, things are getting tighter and I was informed that things are going to be much, much tighter for budgets a year from now just because of COVID and the tax money that has shrunk. The superintendent has made it clear to us that if there is something of great need, that we can talk to him and we'll find a way to make it happen. But the day-to-day budgets just don't exist anymore.
Yeah.
So, I have not had, you know, money to buy much music or things like that in the last couple of years because of all the things that have been going on. So, you know, if there's anybody out there that wants to, you know, support the program that maybe they've enjoyed watching so much, they can feel free to email me. I'll give you my email address, and they can touch base and we can see, you know, if there's a way that they can support this wonderful music program, whether it be choir, orchestra, band, you know, anything they would like.
And so, folks, yeah, you can always get a hold of the school. If you want to give it now, we can, or we can do it off the air, whatever is preferable to you.
Off the air would be great.
That would be great.
Then you could even post it so people can find it.
That would be fine. So, folks, if you're interested in doing that, you can also just call the school. They'll direct you to Mr. Croner, and you can do that. Mr. Jeff Croner, of course, your assistant, Mr. Karen Bauer, they're with you with the Butler Bands. Thank you so much for your time. I so appreciate it. And my best to you as you all go forward in this year.
Thank you. Thank you very much for all the support that this community gives. And, you know, without your support, there'd be really no purpose in such a program. But, you know, it's something that I'm very proud of. It's, to me, it's not really a job day to day, you know, getting to work with the best kids in the school and to make music and teach creativity. So I've been very blessed.
And you're creating memories that will last a lifetime. And you know that from being in band, me being in band, you just keep those memories with you as you grow. So you're doing a fantastic job. Thank you so much for what you do.
Thank you, Tracy.